Rejecting tyranny and socialism isn't racism or hatred. It's your duty as an American, from New Hampshire to around the world. It's your host, Keith Hansen.
Listening to the Keith Hansen Show. It's so great to be with you on this Monday evening. I am Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser. Maybe I'll start using that. I'm delighted to be filling in with Keith for Keith Hansen. And the Keith Hansen Show is powered by the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. It's Monday, January 18th, 2021, and have you been just a little obsessed all weekend long, wondering what will happen to this country come Wednesday? If you are, you're not alone. I know a lot of people who I don't always agree with, but who are patriots nonetheless, who cannot plan very much past Wednesday. Now, the going narrative is Joe Biden will be inaugurated president on Wednesday. Done deal. All is over. And boy, will it be over. It'll be over for this country. Am I being dramatic? Heck no, I'm not. Before I get into all of that, and we do have a wonderful guest to discuss this and so much more, I jumped right ahead, as I tend to do. If you'd like to email Keith Hansen and tell him what you think, he loves emails, as do I, and I'll give you my email later on in the program. His email is keithontheair@gmail.com. That's keithontheair@gmail.com. I don't even know if he's on Twitter anymore, and he used to be on Parler, but of course Parler's gone. And frankly, I think in a weird, sick way, this is good news because this is kind of what we were expecting. What we don't know, and what we don't know what to expect, is whether or not the profound level of corruption is finally going to be exposed for the world, and that these people will be arrested and brought to justice, whoever they are. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, or puppy, which I have a new one sleeping next to me. Got him a couple days ago before Christmas, and he's been keeping us busy. Sometimes I wish I had the sensibilities of the puppy, where all he really cares about is when's his next meal, and is he going to get swatted for peeing in the house? And, you know, and how many toys can he play with at the same time? But here we are, Americans, patriots, looking, hoping, praying, wishing that this extraordinary time in our history is going to be, we will be rewarded with having witnessed the putting down of a communist insurrection in this country. Now, we've been watching it for a long time, but it's been happening under our noses even longer, and a lot of people simply don't see it even now. They think it's business as usual, and those of us who do see it are just hoping that justice will be served, or as I was saying at the beginning of the new year, justice will be done in 2021. And it looks to me, and I could be way wrong, but it And that's really my theme, is that I don't care who you are, but unless you are, you know, one of three or four of the great of the closest confidants of Donald Trump, you're gonna knock, and I don't know how many there are, You're not going to know what's going to happen on Wednesday. Maybe nothing. But I will say this, because I like to get to the nubs of the issue wherever I can. And I do also try to be honest, even though I don't always like what I have to say, but I have to be honest about it. And that's this. If Joe Biden is inaugurated president of these United States on Wednesday, January 20th, which is only 2 days away, I think this country is, for all intents and purposes, through. Because if you hand over executive power, the trifecta of power, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, to people as corrupt as these, people who have more communists, socialists, which is minor compared to the card-carrying communists. I mean, for heaven's sake, Kamala Harris is a red diaper baby. She had, her parents were card-carrying communists, which thus is the definition of a red diaper baby. We have so much communism that has infiltrated our highest levels of government. We even have video from the communist Chinese saying that very thing. It's out there. You can see it. Unless you don't believe that, then it's out there. And therein lies another problem, which is there's so darn much misinformation and speculation about what's going on right now, and we don't know. We have to be honest enough to say we don't know. But a lot of people who say they know, they don't know either. So keep your own counsel. Be very, very circumspect. Be extra alert and cautious. But also know that this whole story is so much bigger than Donald Trump. If people think this is all about Donald Trump and Joe Biden, they just aren't seeing it. And I believe Donald Trump knows that it isn't about him alone. And I even have some really longtime friends of mine who are, longer in politics than I ever was. You know, I've been a real serious political watcher for maybe, 22 years. They've been in politics 40, 50 years. Gosh. And it seems to me that the more they are, the more experienced they are, the more clouded is their judgment, perhaps. They think things are going to happen the way they always have. I don't know. They may. But if they think this is what has always happened, you're terribly wrong. And of course, the left always calls it a conspiracy theory. Anytime you call them out on their communist socialist agenda. But do you really believe, if a year ago someone told you that the leftist party and leftist mayors and governors all over this country could get an entire country of 330 million people plus, give or take a few million, who won't, like myself, they could get the better part of a country to put rags on their face when there is such controversy. Many people believe it's actually poor for your health, bad for your health. For a virus, as I've said many times, that has a 99.86% non-lethal rate, and we know that they've been fiddling with numbers. Does that mean there's a real virus? Isn't a real virus? Yes, there's a real virus. We have a lot of viruses that we've had. We've never given up our freedom for a virus. And yet now, suddenly, for almost a year, people have been running around with a shmata on their face. Shmata means rag in Yiddish, if you don't know. I hardly know any Yiddish. Yes, I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. I'm Jewish and proud of it, but I don't know a lot of Hebrew, hardly any, and I don't know a lot of Yiddish. But my parents spiced up their language, and a shmata is a rag. That's why when someone said, my old Uncle Joe was in the shmata business, it means he was in the rag business or the garment district business, and that's where he got his start designing or dealing with dresses and clothing. A rag. And here we are putting a rag over our faces. I won't. I haven't. I refuse. I encourage you to do likewise. And it isn't a recommendation. It's a mandate, because, of course, leftists, who are really authoritarians in sheep's clothing, never met a mandate they didn't love. They love either mandates or prohibited, whatever that is. It's tyranny. That's what it is. Now, if you have the point was that if you were told that an entire country would be walking around for a year with masks on their face, rags on their face, you would have said, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. If you were told, and you were, that they're going to put out a vaccine that people don't want, many people don't want, many people will refuse to take it, and yet they are preparing to make it mandatory and to discriminate against people who are conscientious objectors. Remember when the left were conscientious objectors? Well, all of those rights are just for them, not for us. So if you refuse to take a vaccine, you will be stripped of your rights and other things. That's happening in other parts of the country already. So that would have, you would have thought that was a conspiracy theory too. So here we are in a stunning time. I've run out of adjectives, and it's all coming to a head on Wednesday. What has happened? Well, a lot of people, you know them, I know them, who are conservatives, have given up hope. Just at the final, at the finale of the biggest story in politics, probably in our lifetimes, where more people have been exposed for more corruption, including massive voter fraud and theft. And did the people who were accused and the people who support election fraud, did any of them ever take an ounce of notice? Did they ever give any quarter whatsoever to even looking at the evidence? No. They rejected it out of hand. Why? Because that's what criminals do. You think they're going to say, oh, well, let's look at the evidence and see if you think I'm guilty. No, I don't think so. Many of these deep staters have benefited from such voter theft, in my humble opinion. And this is conjecture and speculation once again. And that's part of what I'm sick of. I'm sick of speculation and conjecture. Well, we're not going to have to wait too much longer. I haven't talked to anybody who disagrees with me that if Joe Biden gets inaugurated on Wednesday, all bets are off. We are entering a dark, dark period, not just in America, but across the world, because this was an international coup against American voters, et cetera, et cetera. I have to take a break, but I maybe you're waiting for me to make a case for one or the other. My case is, I don't know. Be honest when you don't know. Be willing not to know, because in fact, you don't. We don't know, but we will find out one way or the other on Wednesday, won't we? And that doesn't mean Trump will be inaugurated. It means Biden either will or he won't. On that note, I'm going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a terrific guest to continue this conversation. It's a friend of Keith Hansen's, and I'm looking forward to speaking to him.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Welcome back to the Keith Hansen Show. I'm your happy fill-in host, Karen Cataline, and we've been talking about what is going to happen on January 20th, only 2 days from today. And I'll be with you tomorrow night as well, and we'll have a panel discussion, hopefully of two other talk show hosts, but at least one I know is coming. And I love those kinds of things because, you know, there's an old phrase, opinions are like derrieres. Everyone has one. And of course you do. And I do. You get talk show hosts together who are going to talk about what they expect to happen, what they hope will happen, what they think could never happen. And I think if you are a Keith Hansen listener, which you are, then you have an enormous amount of concern about what will happen on Wednesday. It's hard to imagine that something that we could pray for a miracle and get one, that Joe Biden, who probably couldn't even get a security clearance, would be inaugurated the 46th president of the United States. It seems hard to believe, but it also seems hard to believe that so much drama could happen at the last possible second, just like a movie. Most people have been saying it's a horror movie. We don't know what kind of movie this is, but we know we're watching unprecedented things. I always enjoy the juxtaposition of unprecedented and presidential. So the unprecedented presidential election of 2020. The fact that nobody wanted to investigate it has to be just about as suspicious as anything in the world. The fact that, and I've been saying this, in fact, let me just, we are waiting for our guest who is a sitting congressman who just was elected in Florida, a good friend of Keith Hansen's, and I will give you his bio when we get him on. We're waiting for him. He is in Washington, D.C., and he's kind enough to talk to us when we get hold of him. I would direct you, if I may, to my website, KarenKataline.com. Kataline spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. First name Karen, like the name nobody wants to be anymore. Well, that's what my parents named me, and I'm cool with it. If Karen is a middle-aged white woman who complains a lot, I cop to that. But that's another story entirely. So KarenKataline.com is where you can find my writings. And I have a piece that's been up actually a little over a week because, you know, I got nothing until I know what's happening. I have a lot, but here you go. The title of this piece is Wait, Who's Unhinged and Out of Control? And it's astonishing to me that a party that is poised to take the trifecta of power in Washington, D.C., federal power, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, is busy spending time trying to impeach a president who's supposed to be gone in just days. In this case, in 2 days now. But they will not give it up. I cannot buy that it's because, oh, they just hate him so much. No, 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 no. Everything has a purpose. And in politics, it's all purposeful. That's what it is. And the fact that they're not busy trying to create their communist utopia, but they're busy going after Trump tells me Trump somehow is still dangerous to them. And how? Well, for one thing, he's starting to declassify a whole bunch of information. And then I know people who say, well, why didn't he do it 2 years ago when it would have done some good? How do you know it won't do good now? If he's waiting until now to declassify all this information, and it wouldn't do any good, then why bother, right? I don't think Trump is the kind of guy, never have, never thought, he was the kind of guy to either give up or to pull his punches unless there's a darn good reason. Does that mean we're going to see a big drama happen on Wednesday? I don't know. And nobody else that I know does either. We are indeed still waiting for our congressman, so I'm going to continue just a little bit. And why is it that the left never, ever, ever, we know why, gets held to account for their irrational, insane behavior? They said, we have to get rid of them at any costs. In fact, I will never forget the haunting words that Nancy Pelosi uttered a year ago in January, around this time, give or take a few days, when she said, a year from now, one way or the other, Donald Trump will not be president. Most people thought that was just political posturing. I didn't think so. I didn't think so then, and I don't think so now. What I think is that they have been trying desperately, desperately, desperately to get rid of Donald Trump for the entire term of his presidency, and they still have not succeeded. period. They have not been able to succeed. And they have tried everything legal and illegal, mostly illegal. Illegal votes, illegal framing of a president, spying, lying, accusing him of what they did. Now, why would this president be such a threat to these people? It's one thing if you just disagree on policy. No, it's not that. These people see him as the end of their true control. Even as the party out of power, they still have been in control because they've been running a racket on the American people. Now, when we heard, or rather I should say when you heard, that Eric Swalwell was caught with a Chinese spy playing patty cake and whatever for a long, long time, and that Chinese spy was able to get him all kinds of bennies, including a higher office. I've had this theory for the longest time, and I'm sticking to it. And that is, when you want to corrupt people, number one, they were so easy to corrupt. When you want to corrupt people, you give them a Faustian bargain. It's a Faustian bargain to whatever it is that they're more, that they are most vulnerable to. Is it women? Is it sex? Is it drugs? It's probably not rock and roll, but it's a Faustian bargain. What is so heartbreaking, and I'm going to wrap this up because we have our guest holding right now. Whatever is their greatest weakness, and of course they've done it to the American public too. You know, do drugs, get rid of 12-step meetings, and be as debauched as you can possibly be. What is heartbreaking is that America was so incredibly and easily corrupted. We are now, I am so glad and honored to have Keith Hansen's friend, and any friend of Keith Hansen is a friend of mine, Byron Donalds, a newly elected congressman serving Florida's 19th congressional district and a member of the Republican Party. He just happens to be black, and we're talking today on Martin Luther King Day, so we're going to talk about that. But the fact that you are entering the swamp, and you were just sworn in. Welcome to the Keith Hansen Show. You're listening. You're talking to Karen Cataly and Byron Donalds.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine. So here you are in the party that is not interested in identity politics, and yet people do make something of the fact that you happen to be black and you are a Republican congressman. Well, number one, congratulations on your win. But on this Martin Luther King Day, when it seems that Black Lives Matter and so many other race baiters on the far left have bastardized Martin Luther King's message, could you give us, just to open, some of your thoughts on this day?
Well, you know, honestly, the first thought is, you know, Dr. King, he fought for, obviously, for civil rights and for equality. That fight is something that really, honestly, is really the bedrock and the foundation of the country. And I think sometimes in our politics today, in order for people to try to score a political point or try to make a political point or have a platform, they try to rewrite the history of our country. But I think if you go back even to Dr. King's speech and many other speeches that he talked about, what he said initially was that he wanted for America to fully embrace the words of the Declaration of Independence. And I think that his vision and the vision of so many others during the Civil Rights Movement has moved our nation. It's so much of a faster speed than prior, specifically for black people in America. But really that desire for everybody to just have, you know, life freedom, to be able to pursue their happiness, to have their liberty, I mean, that's something that America, in my view, has totally been able to manifest itself today. And I think it will only continue to get better as the years go by.
Hmm. Well, what was it that made you run for office and, you know, to be entering at this time when you will indeed be in a minority and you've got a virulent kind of left. Hopefully we'll see a miracle on Wednesday, but if we don't, you'll be in a minority times three. What are you hoping you can accomplish there? And I know a lot. We need more and more and more representatives from the business world and from everyday life to remind people that this is a country of we the people.
Well, I mean, I got into politics about 10 years ago, and it was really because, even before that, I got interested in politics about 12, 13 years ago. That was because of the financial collapse that was going on in our country at the time. I mean, everybody's focused on COVID-19, but we, you know, forget about the economy of 07, 08. You know, that 08 economy was just terrible. Our financial institutions were crumbling. Mm-hmm. And because I was working in finance, I had to do research on what was happening in the fall of our financial system. And that's actually what started getting me engaged in politics, because I was watching the House Financial Services Committee and saw literally that the members had no idea what they were talking about, which was frustrating to me, because I'm just like, well, wait a minute. How come you don't know what you're talking about? You're the leaders, quote unquote. So, you know, I think it's important. That's what got me started. Then, as you know, going into Congress now, you know, I just think that we need strong leaders who are going to stand for the rule of law and the Constitution, but also aren't going to be afraid of just standing firm on principle, and are willing to debate and have those discussions, those disagreements. And the third part, I think, which is critical, is that, you know, as a party, as being a Republican, we have to do a significantly better job of engaging all voters. It's not good enough just to say, well, I find my votes over here, or I get my votes from suburban America and rural America, and that's enough to win. We have to do a much better job of engaging the entire body politic. Right. I think if we do that, you know, I think as a party and as a country, we're going to be significantly better off.
Thank you. Congressman, I'm so delighted that we have you for pretty much the rest of the hour. And we got to take a quick break and we will be back. Stay tuned. This is the Keith Hansen Show. I'm Karen Cataline. We'll be right back after this.
The coronavirus has affected the African American community in many ways, including a drastic drop in blood donations. This is the time to take care of one another, and blood transfusions from healthy African American donors can be a life-saving treatment for patients with sickle cell disease or cancer. The American Red Cross adheres to the highest standards of safety and infection control and urges you to come out to donate. Please make an appointment today at redcrossblood.org.
Welcome back to the Keith Hansen Show, powered by, let me get that so that I know, powered by the Hagmann Report, we got to say that, and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. The Keith Hansen Show can be heard each and every weeknight from 9 to 10 Eastern on the Global Star Radio Network. And what fun it is when I get to fill in for Keith, especially 2 days before Inauguration Day that everybody is waiting for. I don't know how many people, but a whole lot of people. We are talking to the brand new Congressman Byron Donalds, who is now representing the 19th district in Florida. I love Florida. Florida's doing better while a lot of states are doing worse. And he was just sworn in. Thank you for staying with us, Byron Donalds, Congressman. We do appreciate it.
Of course. You're welcome.
Great. So it's impossible for me not to ask you about what is going on out there. What did you experience on January 6th, 2021? And I think you had already been sworn in. And do you have any personal observations about that day and the media that has been spinning to within an inch of their lives that it's all conservatives' fault?
Well, I think the first thing is that I'll never forget that day. Obviously, it's a historic day in our country for the wrong reasons. Obviously, we were on the floor counting Electoral College votes. We had actually just went into the objection to the state of Arizona. And the members, we were in debate on the objection. The Senate had already went back to their chambers, and the vice president went to the Senate. So, you know, we're going through the objection, and then we're starting to see in the news that the Capitol was surrounded by protesters. And then we saw that the Capitol had actually been breached, and the members really started talking about the breach and what was going on. And obviously, we couldn't secure the building, so the members were forced to evacuate. It was startling. You know, I did a media radio show, or I forget which one. I think I did Sean Spicer's show that night. And, you know, my message then was very clear. Like, it's unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable. What happened should have never happened. I think, you know, the people who, you know, stormed the Capitol and breached the Capitol have to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And my position is very consistent on this.
Well, I think everybody agrees, Congressman.
Well, no, I mean, but listen to my point, though. My point is that my point is that we have to be consistent. We don't get to be like the left. The left is always selective in how they choose to have their the way they view situations and they view incidents. And so I think on our side of the aisle as Republicans, we were like, no, this is not acceptable, just like what happened in Kenosha and Minneapolis isn't acceptable. You know, everybody needs to be held accountable. I think that the part, though, that is very is not helpful is that media and Democrats have taken it and used it as a, for lack of a better word, a weapon to start purging alternative viewpoints or purging conservative viewpoints.
There's no excuse for that either.
And I think that that's the sad part of where we are.
But Congressman, here's what I said on that very day. You know, you took an oath to protect and defend. I don't know exactly the oath that you took, enemies, foreign and domestic. Part of our most preciously held traditions is due process, is identifying individuals who commit crimes, not either smearing one person with whatever group we think they belong to, and then whatever group that is, they're all guilty. That's known as bigotry. And further, it usually takes a while to find out, just because we're living in the time of agents provocateur. And just because people are wearing a MAGA hat, which you can buy on any street corner, doesn't mean that's who that person is. It takes time to identify. Do I now believe, since it's been a couple of weeks, that there were Trump supporters there who entered the building? Yes. Some of them were led in. Do I think there were Antifa there? Yes. And do I think that there may even have been some military spec ops masquerading as Antifa, masquerading as Trump supporters? The fact is, it takes a while to find the truth. But when the media and the left is all ready to start smearing conservatives, that has the feel of a Reichstag fire, doesn't it?
I think that what the left has done is wrong in this instance. I do agree that people need to take the time to go through the investigative process, actually find out who did what and why. I think what should have just happened from everybody, all parts of our politics, is to condemn what happened and to ask for justice to be done. I think that what we've seen from the left, and this happens far too much, is that they're so quick to rush to a judgment, which frankly just supports their agenda. And but what ends up happening is often they're wrong because they don't know the facts. And in the process, what they've done is they've inflamed situations in the country. You know,
they knew in advance that it fit their agenda, and that's why they did it in the first place.
I don't want to speculate on that part. That part I don't want to speculate on. I think it's important for FBI and the Department of Justice to go through their investigations. They're doing that right now. I think what Nancy Pelosi did, calling for impeachment of the president, I thought that was just flat out wrong. I thought it was hasty. I thought it was done terribly. The president did not even have an opportunity to defend himself. So the president was given no ability to bring
no due process
his
again.
Lawyers to defend because there was no due process.
No due process.
And furthermore, the other thing I would add is the members of Congress who are the jury when it comes to impeachment and conviction in terms of the Senate, we're all tainted. We're, you know, remember, you can make the argument the members of Congress are all victims of what happened on January 6th. We're the ones that had to be evacuated. We're the ones that were very concerned about our lives, so on and so forth. And because you have this situation where the people who are total, basically are the victims, are the ones actually sitting in the jury box, I also think that is unacceptable. I think, you know, we're a tainted jury. And if you would never let a, you would never, they would never let a victim sit in a jury pool. They would never let that happen. So because we're, you know, there's no other body that can do impeachment, what's required, in my opinion, especially in this situation, was extended hearings and investigations to go through the process.
What do you make of trying to impeach an outgoing? What do you make of trying to impeach an outgoing president? I mean, I don't buy that they don't want him to be able to run in 2024. If we do not expose the amount of corruption that's out there in this country, there ain't going to be ever a Republican to run anyway. So I think that's a cover. Why do you think they're spending their precious time in transition to go after Donald Trump when supposedly he's leaving in just a few days?
Because they don't want him to run in 2024. That's why. I mean, let's
That's
be very
what
clear.
You think?
That is why.
Well,
there's
I guess
no, and the only other reason is, you know, to try to take a pound of flesh, you know, if you want to believe what they say, to hold him accountable. But the reality is that we have had inflamed political speech in our country for a very long time.
Right.
Most of it comes from the left. What nobody wants to talk about is when Bernie Sanders and his rhetoric inflamed, according to the, you know, his rhetoric was followed by a Bernie supporter taking a gun and shooting the congressional baseball practice where Steve Scalise was shot and almost killed. The left doesn't talk about that anymore. They actually never talked about it when it happened. Why? Because conservatives didn't come out here and blame Bernie Sanders, saying Bernie put the gun in his hand and Bernie, it's all Bernie's fault. We didn't do that because we understand that in our country, people say a lot of things. What it doesn't do, it doesn't condone, it doesn't put justification on people taking bad actions. And so that's why I think that's where we need to get to in America, is hold people accountable. But this whole blame shifting and trying to find somebody or some group to blame is not the right approach.
Very, very sensible and nicely put. Congressman, do you believe that Donald Trump won the 2020 election? Do you believe there is and was massive voter fraud?
Actually, what I believe is that state laws were not followed in several states and in key districts in several states. And I believe that COVID-19 was used as the excuse, frankly, to make election law violations that, in my opinion, weren't challenged in a robust way. I think when you do that, when you violate election law and make up the rules as you go along, what you end up doing is you invite far more ballots into the process than would be allowed under existing election law. You know, one of the states that didn't get challenged, because it makes no sense challenging it, is California. California, Gavin Newsom violated their election law. He actually issued absentee ballots to all the voters in California. A federal judge found his actions to be unconstitutional. Nobody talks about that. But that is the basis upon which, you know, I objected to some of the states with their electoral college votes. I think if you're going to talk about the steal, quote unquote, I believe that's where it happened, when you had election law violated on purpose, mind you, in order to make sure more ballots could be in the mix.
Well, and that's excellently put. But it seems like all manner of election fraud was done, especially in these battleground states. Of course, we have the story of Dominion voting systems being run and funded by the communist Chinese. I mean, the most unbelievable allegations, which the communist leftist socialist left, that's redundant, never wanted to talk about or examine the evidence. I guess, Congressman, I give you so much credit for running for office and now serving in office, because people are, I hate to speak for all people, and I never can, never will, so many people I talk to are beyond frustrated that crimes never get prosecuted, that when politicians are in power and they are also guilty, then they investigate themselves and say, nope, no crime here, and it's done. Very heartbreaking. And they're the ones, of course, projecting, who always say, nobody is above the law. Well, they've been acting above the law and governing against the will of the people for a long time. We have about a minute and a half. I'd love your comments, and then we're going to take a quick break, and we'll move on to our final segment.
Honestly, I think the issue we have, and most people don't really, I don't think most people would get this point. Most of the law that we follow, that there are not penalties associated with it. There's not criminal or civil penalties. Most portions of law are just stated. And that what the assumption, the expectation is that people follow them. And so I think what happens is when you see people not being held accountable for breaking the law the way they would in a criminal proceeding, is because that section of statute typically does not carry criminal penalties or civil penalties. And actually, well, there are significant pieces of law that does really? That. I know, but I just wanted to kind of explain the basis of that. But people do need to be held accountable.
So
there's no doubt about
frustrating.
That.
Frustrating. We've got, we do have, voter fraud is a felony. Donald Trump signed an executive order in 2018 that a lot of people are pinning their hopes on, that put our election laws under emergency, you know, whatever that status is, the emergency status. Rioting, looting, burning other people's properties certainly is against the law. Gosh, you know, it's just, we watch all this in plain view and people don't get prosecuted. That is a frustration beyond frustration. We're going to take a quick break. We are talking to the wonderful brand new congressman, Byron Donalds of Florida, and we'll talk a little bit more and we'll wrap up the show. We have one more segment to go. Stay tuned. This is the Keith Hansen Show, and I'm your fill-in host, Karen Cataline.
This is Tom Cuddy, your morning sports reporter, and this might work for you. You hear the headlines, you know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums skyrocketed. In most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows us to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. If you've changed jobs, if you're having a baby, if you're getting married, getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed. This law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help us learn how to qualify for lower health insurance rates. Call right now to learn more. 800-605-1679. 800-605-1679. Paid for by Go Health. 800-605-1679.
Welcome back to the Keith Hansen Show. I am your happy fill-in host today and tomorrow. Keith is otherwise engaged. Well, as far as I know, he's not engaged yet, but I'll, you know, if I find out, I'll let you know. And the Keith Hansen Show is powered by the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. It is such a pleasure to fill in for Keith in particular, because he is so astute and fun to listen to. Unfortunately, our congressman, Byron Donalds, had to leave. He was called away for another interview, and hopefully we treated him with a lot of respect. And I know that you enjoyed that interview. I hope you did, anyway. And for him to be serving in such a time as this has got to be extraordinary. So we wish him well as he begins his first term in Congress. So I must return back to this notion that a lot of people, including myself, are kind of delaying certain decisions until they know which way this country is going to go. The reason I think this is so phenomenally historic is because I don't know of an election even in our history. I mean, I'm not the greatest historian in the world, except we're talking Civil War times. And but certainly in my lifetime, I don't know that there was an election remotely as momentous as this one, and something that would clearly make the difference between whether this country goes to tyranny and communism or returns to liberty and the Constitution. And I'm not even exaggerating. I wish I were. I wish during the Obama years, people would have, you know, when they thought that I was crazy for being concerned about Obama, because, of course, you couldn't be concerned. You were accused of a racist. You're a racist if you didn't like Obama, and you're a racist if you did like Trump. Basically, you're a racist if you don't agree with the hard left, which now controls the Democrat Party. But what happens on Wednesday? And most people think it's a done deal, because nobody in Washington had the guts or the courage to examine the allegations. There are people who think that judges threw the case out of court because there was no evidence. They never heard the evidence. I am reminded of a very valuable video. I couldn't point to it now because it's probably on my website. I posted it on my website, of Rudy Giuliani saying, make no mistake, Donald Trump's cases were never heard on the merits. They were never heard on the evidence. When you're trying to railroad people, whether it is supporters of Trump, all of whom are now guilty and who deserve to be censored by a technocracy, then you smear everybody that are your enemies. When you're trying to make bigoted remarks about how an entire group is evil for what a few people did, remember, that's what they said about the riots all through the summer, is that, oh, those were just a few people who took over the movement of BLM. Well, guess what? BLM is a Marxist organization. The leaders have said so. So it's not a question of a double standard. It's a question of absolutely no standards at all. I return back to this whole notion of what is going to happen on Wednesday. Will there be a miracle? And if I have my druthers, I hope nobody is inaugurated on Wednesday. I hope that the inauguration is delayed. It was moved from March 4th, so it doesn't have to happen on the 20th. It is in the Constitution. It's the only date that is. But under insurrection and other things, it could be delayed so that the evidence could finally be brought before the American people to see yes or no whether the election was stolen. You don't inaugurate a president on an accusation that maybe the election is stolen, and you also don't inaugurate a president based on ignoring facts that are right in front of your very eyes. So a lot of people are just waiting to see, so which way is this country going to go? Liberty or tyranny? That's a Mark Levin book. Liberty or tyranny? I have the pleasure of talking to my friend and my producer, Doug, from BBS Radio, who's helping us with this edition of the Keith Hansen Show. Doug, tell us, if you would, and welcome on the air as you are running the board behind the scenes, what do you think, if you know, is going to happen on Wednesday, January 20th?
Well, as Hunter Biden would say, let me look into my crystal pipe.
Oh!
Wow. Boy, it's going to be a little different than most people think. I think right now we wonder about the future because we wonder who all the players are. I mean, do we have a coup d'etat by various agencies within our military? Why aren't things being looked into? Mm-hmm. And a lot of information is being released over the past day and the next couple of days, which really shows a level of manipulation of people and events. And I think that that information is going to the higher parts of the military, and the military is going to start taking it more seriously because they have to. And that, and you know, even this inauguration, I mean, it's not, there's so many troops, and yes, there's a show of force, but there's also a bit of fear out there. I mean, how far has this infiltration gone? You know, we know that the Chinese and other players hacked the DNC. They've hacked our military information regarding all assets across the United States in terms of electricity and otherwise. And, you know, when you get vetted to be a Congress or any major player, you know, there's information they're going to ask you, like, did you sleep with your dog? And maybe you said yes, maybe you said don't, but, you know,
or
that information's
spy,
all collected.
Perhaps.
Who has that?
Did you sleep with a Chinese spy?
Right. What's that mean, really? And yeah. So there's a lot of apprehension. Yeah. I think that I would like to believe that moving forward, the right people are going to have information and it's going to, you know, unfold and things are going to change. The question is, will it change the outcome of this election right now? I just know that things are going to be more interesting, and the military parts of it will probably look to rectify things, security. But I don't really know about the politics.
Let me take issue with that one, because there is a reason that this hard left, totally corrupt and compromised left, is so desperate for grabbing power once again. Because once you have the reins of power, which they lost, and Donald Trump showed the country and the world what prosperity could really look like, and it's not just prosperity, it's on a host of issues. Once they have the power, they close the giant barn door behind them. They open all the borders. They pack the courts. They create new states to make sure that nobody will ever. They've got a monopoly of power. They could do it immediately.
Scary.
The threat of Donald Trump running in 2024, with all respect to our previous guest, I just don't buy it. I'm not buying it. I don't think they're even remotely worried about him running in 2024. All I can figure, and maybe there's something I haven't thought of, that's why I'm so tired of this speculation, is that he remains a threat to them. Here's a guy who they should be cheering and cheering and cheering. We finally got rid of that terrible orange man with yellow hair, and instead they're still trying to impeach him with no due process. They're
because
in a
he's
total
declassifying
rush.
Documents.
And
it's a sideshow,
yes,
too.
That's part of it right there.
Yeah, it's a sideshow, too.
Declassifying documents. Well, but we are learning stuff. What if what we hope will happen is what they fear will happen? That something, a news blackout or something will happen,
right,
to prevent. I just read this morning.
Right. Strange things are afoot.
That there was a rehearsal, like a rehearsal wedding dinner, just a rehearsal for the inauguration that they had to scrap because there was a fire several blocks away. I mean,
right,
stuff happens. Do I have any control over it? No. Right. Do you? No.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you were you were the military, right, mm-hmm, and you were guarded to protect the United States, and you then started to get information that presented the case that, yes, we've had election interference. Yes, in fact, you can prove it. All this data that wasn't looked at has been examined. And all these things that are on the, you know, like the laptops for Hunter Biden, and all this is available. And they really did get people in there to scrutinize it. And then those reports come out and they say X. And the military understands this. What do you do?
Doug, they're going to keep their oath. I believe the military will go by their oath. And the minute, God forbid, Joe Biden takes the oath of office, all bets are off, because their new commander-in-chief is Joe Biden. It is no longer Donald Trump. On that note, thank you so much. So in front of the microphone, he's giving me his information. On the back end, he's telling me I have less than 60 seconds before the end of the show. I want to thank Keith Hansen for asking me to fill in for him. Thanks to Doug, my producer. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Go visit KarenCataline.com, and I will be with you tomorrow with another guest and another hour of the Keith Hansen Show. Thanks for joining us, and be safe.